We're talking about make a difference here today, and pursuing making a difference is on our heart. We believe when we know God, we find community, we discover purpose, we begin making a difference. We're living the life as a disciple of Jesus, and all four of those components matter. As I was working on this message, I began to just think, what does it look like to make a difference? What does it mean for us to have a high view and pursue making a difference? And here's my first point of the sermon today. You can write it down. It may sound kind of simple, but I want you to grasp it. Make a difference is a God thing. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And if you're like, how do you know? I would say, see the Bible. Make a difference is a God thing. See the Bible. As you open up His Word and begin to look from Genesis, fast forward to the other 65 books, you'll get to the 66th book, Revelation, and you'll realize God is passionate about making a difference. One of my favorite difference-making moments that God does is right there in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Let's look at it here on the screen. In fact, if you want, just go ahead and read it with me. Just be reminded of God and His difference-making. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Pause. We're just once. That there was a time in history. In the beginning was God. It had always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In perfect unity. Begin creating. The earth was formless and void. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the dark and deeps and the waters. And then there was a moment where God said, I'm going to make a difference right now. And He said, let there be light. Now, I don't want to debate science as much with you, but I think there was a big bang when God spoke those words. Come on, amen? I think that He said, let there be light, and I think there was a boom. Thanks for matching that energy right there. Boom. I just think there was a powerful explosion of light for the first time ever. God spoke light into the atmosphere, and God saw that the light was good. I think God wants to light it up. He wants to bring light into our lives, bring light into our darkness. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. God was making a difference on the first day. Amen. The first day God decided to make a difference. And you see throughout the book of Genesis, God continues to make a difference for His creation, His people. He can make a difference through geography. He can make a difference through creation and nature and animals and humans. The Genesis story is so powerful. It's layered with all types of complexity and even sinful people making poor decisions, yet doesn't stop God in His decision-making to make a difference. In the book of Exodus, you turn into the second book of the Bible, and you find Moses given this assignment from God to go to Pharaoh and to speak those words, right? Let my people go, that they may serve me. This bold challenge, Moses goes, and Pharaoh, in his hardness of heart, in a way thinks that he can be God. That he is in control when the reality is he's not, right? And God is fighting for His people. And God says, Pharaoh, you can't do the things I can do. I'm making a difference. Even God begins to unleash these plagues. And Pharaoh's like, I can do that. I can get the magicians to try those same things. But they can't make a difference quite like God can. Ultimately, God decides to open up the sea. Splits the water into half. That type of make a difference. Amen? Like making a difference on a whole new level. Finally, the people of Israel make their way into the promised land. You'll find that in the book of Joshua. And around these walls of Jericho seem to be blocking out the people of God into their next chapter. And so God says, listen, if you run my play, you walk around these walls seven times, you do the specific things that I'm calling you to be obedient to, I'll knock these walls down. What am I trying to help you see? God can knock walls down. He can make a difference in your life. Doesn't matter how high the walls are. Doesn't matter how far you may feel from God. He can reach in and make a difference. Doesn't matter how lost you are or may feel, I've found that the God of the Bible knows how to make a difference regardless. We find this throughout the scriptures. You can even fast forward into the New Testament, find yourself with Jesus on the boat with his disciples. Jesus is taking a nap. Come on. Jesus affirms napping. Amen? I thought there would be a bigger amen than that. Come on, anybody grateful for the extra hour today? Let's go. Anybody need that? Jesus is taking a nap, and the disciples are kind of having this moment as the water is beginning to splash onto their feet. The winds and the waves are turning up, and I wonder if they were like, I ain't waking them up. I ain't waking them up. Finally, one of the disciples says, I'm getting scared. I'm getting scared. Come on, right? And they begin waking Jesus up. Jesus gets up from his nap, goes up on the boat, and what does he do? He speaks to the wind and to the waves. And he says, peace, be still. Hey, wind and waves, calm down, right? And they listened. And the disciples go, whoa, the winds and the waves listen to Jesus. He's a difference maker. He can make a difference in the weather. He can make a difference in the water. He can make a difference in the boat. With the disciples, we find Jesus makes a difference through his sinless life, through his sacrificial death on the cross for all of our sins. He makes a difference by paying for our sins, taking them into the grave, and then rising from the grave, making a difference through the resurrection. Amen? Makes a difference through his ascension. Right before he ascends in the book of Acts, he calls his disciples together for a moment, and he speaks Acts chapter 1, verse 8 over their lives. He says, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit, my dynamite, Holy Spirit power is going to fill your life, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria. In fact, to the ends of the earth. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm expecting you to make a difference. I'm not just filling you with the Holy Spirit to have a kumbaya on Sundays. I'm filling you with the Holy Spirit to take the gospel, expand the kingdom, make a difference everywhere that I place you. You find the disciples in the book of Acts really making a difference in tangible, powerful ways. From Genesis to Revelation, God is a difference maker. Amen? You put God in the game and he's going to get some stats. Right away, he's going to start making a difference. His plus-minus ratio, he's all plus. He's a difference maker. If you look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, thought that this scripture was powerful. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. When you examine your life and you recognize, man, I got some good stuff going on. God has given you his goodness. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from him. Who is he? It's coming down from the Father of lights. He's the one who spoke light into existence, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What am I trying to help you see? If God is not changing and is difference making, then we should be expecting him to make a difference today, right? In our lives, in our church, God is a difference maker God. Why are we passionate about making a difference? Well, it's a God thing. It's what he does. See the Bible. And I don't think he has a variation or shadow that's going to change, so he's going to continue making a difference. And then through our lives, when you look at your life and you recognize, and God has been good to me, just know that he's made that type of a difference. It's for his glory and his goodness and his honor. I wrote this down in my notes as a reality statement. God is the greatest difference maker of all time, from creation to eternity. God has been, is currently, and will continue to make a difference. We worship him as that, amen? He is the difference maker God in our lives. And I think that leads to the second point of the sermon here today. Make a difference is a we thing. Make a difference is a God thing, see the Bible. But listen, make a difference is a we thing. See the church. part of God's different making plan was that he would have a church. He would have a body that, come on, aren't you grateful that like God isn't just this like floating head? No, he has a body. It's us. We are the church, the God who has been faithful and consistent to make a difference is going to continue to do that through his body, through his church. If you see the church on display being shaped, formed, developed, and empowered in the book of Acts, you'll realize the church was meant to make a difference. In fact, the church exists to make a difference. One of the reasons why I love the month of November at Walk Church is because we do this thing that we call Love Strong. And for those who've been a part of any of our Love Strong seasons, or if you're new to this, I just want to just share with you, Love Strong is a month-long campaign where we as a church engage in serving all throughout our city. In fact, I would say if you have a way for us as a church to serve, an idea, a volunteer opportunity, whether it's you need one people or you need like 100 people, we would love to put it on our Love Strong calendar, right? We have over 30 different Love Strong opportunities for you to engage in this month. Come on, would you go out and do something? Would you sign up? I want to encourage you to consider doing just that. You can go to walkchurch.com/events. And you can learn about all of the different opportunities we have to make a difference. In fact, I would encourage you to even get one of these upcoming events bulletins. You can open it up. You can scan the QR code and see all of the different events that we have to serve in this month. And here's what I know. If all of us are out in the city serving, we're all going to be making a difference for his glory. Conversations are happening. People are coming to know God. People are hungry and starving for a new season, a difference. God, make a difference in my life. God wants to use the church to get the good news out that he can still do that. So I want to encourage you to serve. In fact, I would say, I don't know if there's ever a moment where you're more like Jesus than when you're serving. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus makes this profound statement. He says, I didn't come here to be served. In case you were thinking I'm that type of a king who needs, serve me, serve me. Jesus goes, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to make a difference. I came here to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Right? So Jesus is on mission. He's serving. He's getting his hands and his feet dirty. He's making a difference. If you want to know about make a difference, see God. If you want to know about make a difference, see the church. That we're called to make a difference with our hands, with our feet, with our lives in the name of Jesus. If you look in the book of Acts, you'll find the church being developed and empowered and being sent. And they begin to go make disciples and make a difference. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, we'll look at these verses. There's some hostility going on between the disciples and the authoritative governing leadership in the culture of that day. When they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, these men have turned the world upside down, have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of, say it with me, Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. Now, what does this show you? The description that is given to the disciples in verse 6 blew my mind. It says, when they could not find them, they dragged Jason, and this is the testimony, they shouted, these men have turned the world upside down. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that people would say, oh, you talk about Walk Church? The church turned the world upside down. That church is changing the city, right? Charles Spurgeon once said, you can know if your church is effective or not, is if it were to close down tomorrow, would anybody even notice? Here's the thing. I want our church to be so effective that we're felt in our difference making, so much so that Somebody would one day even say, that church has turned the city upside, the world upside. The world has been affected because of what God is doing in the church. Amen. If you want to see making a difference happen, see the church. Listen, here's what I believe. If you really study the history of the church, there has been no organization that has been more impactful than the Church of Jesus Christ. Nobody has built more hospitals in the name of somebody than the Church of Jesus Christ. Nobody has been helping serve homeless people and making a difference in people's needs and lives more than the church mobilized on mission for his glory. The Church of Jesus Christ has always been God's plan A, B, and C for reaching the nations and making a difference in his city, in his world. Amen? It's always been the church. I don't know if we believe it or not. Come on, come on, clap for yourself, you know? We're a part of the church. It's always been the church. Jesus doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't have somebody mysterious in the background. It's always been his bride. The church. The church is meant to make a difference. William Tyndale said, the church is the one institution that exists for those outside it. Right? We're a church on mission that God expects us to be the primary force. Organization, building, body, community, called out, gathered ones to make a difference for his glory. Listen to me here. Come on, let me see some eye contact really quick. Come on, camera. Zoom in on me. Right? I want you to catch this for a second. I believe this so convictionally in my core that I'm even willing to make a statement right now that could potentially make the room feel uncomfortable, although I don't want it to feel uncomfortable. I want you to just hear my heart for a minute. All right? I'm well aware it's November 3rd that in 2 days it's Election Day. And there's going to be an opportunity for American citizens who are eligible to vote to go out and make a difference by voting for a candidate. And here's what I would say. I want to go on record as the senior pastor of Walk Church that I encourage every single American citizen that's eligible to vote to go to the voting polls and to cast your vote with your Bible open and make a difference through the freedom you've been given to vote. I believe you should have, come on, I believe you should have a Bible-saturated heart and mind that has shaped your values, and your values shape your decisions, and that should lead to casting whoever you feel closest fits that when it comes to voting. I also believe that 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that we have the mandate to pray for all people who have been put in positions, high places, governing authority positions. It doesn't say you have to agree with them. It does call us to pray for them. And it says that in those two ways, I believe we can make a difference through our voting and through our praying. Is that clear that y'all hearing me say that? Are we on the same page? At least you're hearing me at least. I'm not saying you have to agree. This is just my encouragement, my biblical conviction. Now, with that said, I want to put a comma. You guys see the comma? Comma. With that said, I don't believe that God is in heaven waiting to see what happens on Tuesday in order to make a difference in our nation. I don't believe that it's God's plan or purpose to have the President of the United States to be his primary vehicle for difference making. It's been the church. Do your part. But just know that at the end of the day, God's not looking for the White House to be the difference maker. He's looking for God's house to be the difference maker. The primary difference making vehicle, the agent for making a difference, has never been governing authorities. It wasn't in Jesus's day. It wasn't in the book of Acts. We just read Acts chapter 17. But listen, regardless of who was in office and power and authority, didn't stop the church from making a difference. In fact, I would even argue if you do a study of the early church, it was the persecution that squeezed the church, and what came out of it was missionaries and difference makers. In fact, Tertullian says it like this: the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. That it was the blood of martyrs, the persecuted church. God's primary purpose was not just for us to gather, but for us to scatter and to go out and make a difference. And that might not be cool with every single person. In fact, it wasn't for Caesar. They kept throwing Paul and Peter and these guys in jail. They kept threatening their lives. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, finally somebody said, hey, look, check this out. If God's in it, you can't stop it. He's a difference maker on a whole nother level. Now, if God's not in it, it'll stop itself. Right, that was the wisdom there. Hey, look, honestly, you keep putting these guys in jail, they keep leading the jail to Jesus. What are we doing here? You got angels busting them out. Come on. God's going to make a difference. Find where God's at work. Join him. Right? Henry Blackaby says it best. Experience God. I believe that God's plan for making a difference is going to be found through his word, lived out by his church. It's always been his church. And so I want to encourage you to recognize that it's us that make up his church. And that leads me to the third and final point of this message. Make a difference is a God thing. Make a difference is a we thing. This third point is this: make a difference, come on, it's a me thing. I'm in there. See my life. Now, when I say that, let me just be clear. I'm not talking about me specifically. Not like a hiding thing. I'm talking about an us thing. I'm talking about an individually, you're the individual in the me. See your life. I want to encourage you to see your life as a difference-making life. Now, I know that it's all God in us and through us. It's his power for his glory. It's not like we suddenly, all of a sudden, you know, can find ways to make a difference in our own strength. No, it's him using us. It's him filling us. It's him calling us. It's him empowering us. Come on, amen? It's Christ's life through us. It's a me thing. He wants to use me. And my encouragement to you is you got to start somewhere. Start making a difference. In fact, God was speaking to me even this past Friday. This past Friday night, for those of you who don't know, we have an incredible dream team. Our dream team, one of our teams that make up the dream team, is our setup and teardown team, the crew. And I'm grateful for this crew who comes on Friday evening. They start setting up the kids ministry. They start setting up this room right here, all this pipe and drape, the stage, the screens, all the chairs that you're sitting on, all of the different pieces of literature, the merch store, the stuff in the bathroom. Shout out to our team on Friday night. Amen. Come on. Incredible. And so I was actually doing a basketball practice at the same time. Part of making a difference for me is coaching up these youngsters. Pray for me, right? But with that, we also stopped in and just began to just engage with the setup team a little bit, help where we can, and brought some new merch. Check it out over there. And while I was there, I saw an individual who was walking past me doing some good work. And I stopped. I said, you know what? I want to get a picture with this person because this is an illustration of the sermon I'm talking about on Sunday. I'll put it up here on the screen. This is a picture of me and my sister, Rose. Shout out to Rose. Now, I thought it was very fitting. It's not like I was like, hey, go get a sign and let's take a picture in front. No. She was walking. There was the Make a Difference sign. I said, this is right. This is it. This picture is worth a lot. And part of the reason why I wanted to take this picture and I wanted to highlight Miss Rose is because in this point, Make a Difference through me, it jogged my memory back to 2010. This is 14 years ago, summertime. I just came to know the Lord Jesus. And I just came back to Las Vegas in the summertime. And I had been given this recommendation to find Hope Church and try to connect with Pastor Vance Pittman and get some direction, discipleship, some next steps. And I Google Hope Church. Hope Church is meeting at Silverado High School, the school that I went to growing up, wild. I walk into the school and I'm standing in the back and I'm just kind of observing, like, okay, this is the church. All right. This is interesting. And suddenly I hear somebody go, psst, hey. Hey, you. Me? You talking to me? Right? And it's Rose. And she goes, hey, this is your basket. Here's my basket. And there was another guy who was with her named Smitty. Smitty's a part of our church. And she goes, I'm taking this row. I need you to take this aisle. Smitty's going to take this aisle, and we're gonna usher, all right? And I was like, all right. I'm ready. I'm game ready. Right? And it was time for the offer. This was like pre-COVID, right? Where people actually passed baskets back then, back in the day, right? But I just remember thinking, I'm here to make a difference. I don't want to just be an ordinary usher. I want to be the best usher. I was locked in with that basket passing. Amen? Come on. We got it right. And I just want to say, when it comes to Rose, I'm grateful for this woman of God because she helped make a difference in my life through the task of ushering before God had anything bigger in store as far as what I was realizing at the moment. It started right there. Can I just tell you, church? I'm still on the usher team. I love being on the greeter team. I love serving in this church, but it sparked with a make a difference moment that happened 14 years ago. Grateful that Rose is still making a difference in our church. In special ways, grateful for Hope Church being an awesome sending church and people have joined us on this journey. And I just want to say, I don't know what your difference-making moment needs to be like, but I went from the greeter team to the usher team to the count team to the coffee team to the high-five welcome team. There was a team, I was on it. And through all that, God just began to grow me through each season. And each chapter of my journey had its own grace. In its own leadership development season. And here's the thought. God, I just want to make a difference. And through the pursuit of making a difference, you'll realize you'll start making a difference. Just in this last service, I was over here in the front greeting a few people on the way in, and I saw my friend Bob walking in. And if you guys know Lois and Bob, an incredible kingdom couple, Bob is in his later 80s, and he's still faithful to get to church on a weekly basis. Let me show this picture of Bob. I went to give Bob a handshake, and he like low-key walked past me because he wanted to get some more invite cards. He's a difference maker. Say, hey, let me get my cards first. He encouraged me. I want to make a difference where God's placed me. If you move into a new neighborhood, move with a purpose. I want to make a difference. I was actually in a room the other night, and it was with a bunch of athletes, and for whatever reason, it was taking a while, and it was like hot in the room or whatever, and I realized that there was over here this like little small like water jug with the little plastic cups, and I thought, I'm going to make a difference right now. I'm just going to start filling up these little cups, and I'm going to become the water boy, right? And I started... Man, I'll tell you how many people wanted a little cup of water. And all of a sudden, I started just finding purpose. Hey, did y'all ladies want a water? Oh, how'd you know? Let me get one. Can you bring me like four back? I'm like, okay, right? You know, but I realized, hey, I'm not just going to be in the atmosphere. I'm going to make a difference where God's placed me. And you can make a difference with your smile. You can make a difference with your handshake. You can make a difference with your money. You can make a difference with your gifts. You can make a difference with your talents. Come on, amen. I heard somebody say this past week, a pastor named Wayne, he said, God is a fruit inspector. In other words, he's inspecting our lives. What type of fruit are we producing? Good fruit, molded fruit? Do we have any fruit? I close with this reminder of this parable, Matthew chapter 25. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but just to give you some context, it says, it will be like a man going on a journey, Jesus talking about the kingdom, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Now, as you read the rest of the story, you notice that Jesus is referring to this moment in the parable where the leader, the one who had all the property, comes back and he finds the person he gave five to, and how about he remembers? He says, hey, I gave you five talents, right? And the person goes, turned it into 10. Check it out. We went from 5 to 10, multiply. And Jesus says, the leader says, well done, my good and faithful servant, right? You've been faithful with a little, I'll make you faithful over more. Wow. And then he says, well, wait, wasn't there another guy I gave 2 talents to? He said, oh yeah, there he is. Hey, 2-talent dude or lady, what'd you do with those 2? Person says, I turned it into 4. I turned the 2 into 4. Jesus, same response. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Wow, powerful moment of affirmation right there. Amen. But hey, hold on a second. There's one more. Hey, where's the person? I gave another person a talent. That person shows up. Hey, what's up? Jesus goes, hey, what'd you do with that talent? Person says, oh, you know what? I wanted to be safe. I wanted to be faithful. I didn't want to lose it. So I buried it. I buried that 1 talent. I dug it up. Here it is. Here's the 1 talent. And Jesus says that the leader looks at them and says, you wicked and lazy servant. Take that 1 and go give it to the person who did 10. What's the principle? Hey, first off, please don't be deceived into thinking your faithfulness by keeping it safe is not wicked and lazy according to the eyes of the Lord. God has given you talents, skills, capacity, wiring, fruit, money, gifts, eyes, hands, a mind that thinks. He wants an investment on that. God gave you all that for His glory and your joy and the good of everybody else around you. In other words, why did God give you the gifts He gave you? He gave you the gifts He gave you so that you'd make a difference. That you wouldn't just sit on it. You wouldn't just bury it. You wouldn't think, hey, maybe sometime in the future I'll do something with it. Come on, you know, if you wait, you might be too late. I think He wants you to start making a difference today. And it's our joy, it's our mission, it's our vision to partner with you that God would use you to make a difference. I'll just tell you, man, I'm fired up because right before this service, we saw a young lady in our church named Josie get baptized. It's a powerful testimony of faith. She recently moved to Las Vegas, got connected with our church over the past several months, has grown a hunger for God's word, put her faith in Jesus, and got baptized today. And here's what she said. She said, for whatever the reason, this was just for a season of time in my life. I'm moving back to Utah with my family tomorrow, but I'm moving back with a purpose. I'm going back a different person. I'm going back to make a difference. Now, I think that'd be cool if I like planned for this sermon to be on this day. But we did it. God did. God just knew this is the commissioning message that she needed to go make a difference with her life where God has placed her. Believe that for you. This is what may be next for you. Finally, as we close, it is the first Sunday in the month of November. And every first Sunday of the month, we do partake in what's called communion. And communion, also known as the Lord's Supper, is really evidence of how the Lord has made a difference through the gospel. In fact, in this little packet, you can kind of toggle with it and pull this little wafer out. And this wafer represents something so significant. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, here's what Jesus says to His disciples. He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. He broke this piece of bread that He was modeling for them. And then he gave it to His disciples. And this is what He said. This is my body, which is given for you. When we partake in communion, and we're going to do this here in a minute, what we're doing is we're remembering the broken body of Jesus for us. We're remembering how he made a difference, church. And then he opened up the cup, right? The cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, this is poured out for you. This is the new covenant in my blood. What's Jesus teaching there? I made a difference. A new covenant has been instituted. It's no longer in the works of the law. It's now in the blood of the Lamb, in the Son. We shed his blood on the cross for our forgiveness. So then when we eat this bread, we remember the broken body of Jesus, how he paid for our sins. We remember the blood shed of Jesus, how our sins can be forgiven and cleansed. And what should that do for us? Well, I think that we could be convicted and comforted at the same time. On one end, we can be convicted. He did that for me. And on the other end, we could be, he did that for me. We can be convicted and say, okay, you know what? I need to forgive people the way he's forgiven me. Spurgeon says, look at the communion with the glasses of the gospel. Say, wow, he did this for me. Okay, I'm going to extend grace. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to stop sinning. He did this for me. So we never approach the tables loosely. We never approach the tables too casually, as if we don't know what we're doing. We take time to reflect and examine what Jesus has done and how he's made a difference in our lives. If you haven't met Christ yet, if you haven't put your faith in him, then this time isn't for you to approach the communion tables, but this is time for you to approach the Lord. And maybe by faith, you'd put your faith in Jesus, and then these would make sense. Maybe he would lift the veil off your eyes so that you could see how much he really does love you and how the gospel is for you. And these two elements are there to help remind you that that's true. Amen? So I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. The altar's open, and the communion tables in the front and the back are full of packets for you to grab. When you're ready, just go ahead and get up and make your way to the table. And after you have reflected and examined, partake when it's time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, if there's one person in this room right now who doesn't know Jesus, I pray today would be your day. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I come before you now in Jesus' name. Please forgive me of all my sins. I turn away now from my sins. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. And I believe that you want me to make a difference. Use me. Fill me. Call me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.